Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
You are now tuned in to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, and I'm very happy to be able to address you today over the airwaves. I am Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 40283 Wolf Road, outside of Caledonia in the Bartahatchee community. Our church meets at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. I also welcome you on behalf of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located at 11 Staten Road, in Ackerman, Mississippi. I also welcome you on behalf of Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. And we invite you to go to the website that services this broadcast, gospel-of-grace.com, and see the schedule of our church meetings. And also, while you're at it, drop us an email through that website that we sure would love to hear from you. Any questions, any criticisms, we would really appreciate you reaching out to us and letting us know that you're listening. And we also meet at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening at 200 West Garrett Road in the facilities of New Covenant Church in Starkville, Mississippi, 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening. We would love for you to join us. You can also go to Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church Facebook page, hit like, and activate the notifications, and you can join us for our live stream, 6 p.m. every Wednesday and also 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We have for you a series of messages called Christian Crazy, and we hope that you'll stay tuned with us, and we'll be right back with today's message.
Treasure. Thank you so much for staying tuned with me here at the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. And I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm turned to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm continuing today on this series called Crazy, or Christian Crazy. And the text that actually stimulated my mind to this concept was 1 John 3, 1, which reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Truly, believer in Jesus Christ, one who chooses to discipline themselves, to give themselves over to the service of Jesus Christ openly, manifestly in this world of sin and sorrow, you will be thought to be crazy. The world will not understand you. The world will not know why you do what you do, why you say what you say, why you act and behave the way that you act and behave. The world never has been a friend to Christ. This is a sin-cursed world. And my friends, I'm very just thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ came down into this sin-cursed realm and lived a perfect life for people who couldn't live a perfect life, who kept a perfect law for people who could only break it, a died a death that none of us would have been able to accomplish. And he was able to overcome death and the grave through being resurrected to never die again. I'm so thankful to be one of these crazy Christians. Now, in our previous installments on this series, we've pointed out an example of those who are crazy forgetful. They just chose to forget slights that had been done against them and their people. Those who are crazy compassionate. Those who are crazy faithful. Faithful to an amazing degree. And crazy excited over the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we also have pointed out example of crazy trust. How great it is to be able to trust in something so totally because you've received the promise from the Lord. Oh, that faith and that trust is just astounding. Well, today let's look at another example of something that the world sees as crazy. Go to Matthew 26, and we'll begin reading with verse 6. The setting here is Jesus is about to go to the cross. The very shadow of the torment of the cross hangs over his head. And here in Matthew 26, 6, we read, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment." Now, the ointment under consideration here in this alabaster box is anointing ointment. It is ointment that was created by herbs and by spices being ground and being mixed together by people who had an experience in the perfuming effects and the mollifying effects of these ointments. And so it was not a cheap thing. This was a very pricey, precious, and rare commodity that this woman had. And people would have looked at it as very valuable and a great asset. But here, this woman, having this alabaster box full of very precious ointment, she broke it and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. So here she is anointing him as a dead person, even though he is yet to die, which, my friends, makes sense when we take the Bible as a whole, because we know that the work that Jesus Christ did on the tree of the cross in dying for us is a dying that he accomplished that had been just set and predestined to be taking place before the world ever began. That's why the Lamb's Book of Life in two different places is pointed to as that which was from the foundation of the world. It's a definite death that Jesus came to die. So I don't know how much of that knowledge this woman had as she broke this precious ointment and poured it upon his head as if anointing someone for burial. But certainly it makes sense according to the whole of Scriptures. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. It means they were miffed. They were angry, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." Now, from other contexts, we see that possibly this ointment, being so precious, could have been conceivably worth $40,000 to $50,000 in today's money. You know, 300 pence was quite a bit. And they saying, hey, which, you know, by our, rational judgment, our logic, even our compassionate hearts, we would say, wow, that could do a lot of good for the poor. And that's what these disciples, that was the root of their indignation. This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. And alas, in fulfillment of that prophecy of Jesus, we're here speaking of it today in the year 2024. See, they were indignant because it was so precious, and they saw it as a waste for it to be poured upon the head of Jesus Christ. Now, I find it kind of funny that I believe that this woman had come to his dead body and poured this precious ointment upon him to anoint him for burial, then probably nary a word would have been said about it. Isn't it funny, my friends, how sometimes we live in this life venerating the death of the Savior, and oftentimes we forget that he's still alive and well. He's more alive now than we could ever imagine him being. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so we don't just venerate him because of his death. We also venerate him because he rose from the dead, and he lives even still, and he comes and he worships with us and sings with us and walks with us and talks with us, and he hears our prayers. He is very much a living Savior. And this woman was crazy generous. She knew, she had to have known what this precious ointment was worth. I don't know how this woman got it. I doubt seriously she was able to save this much money. Seems to me that possibly she received it as an inheritance. Oftentimes when somebody who's in a poverty-stricken state has something that's this precious, usually it's something that's been bequeathed to them by a forebear. And so I'm not sure how she got this, but the fact remains that she had it. It was in her power. It was hers. She possessed it. And she was under no obligation to do this, but she felt desirous to do this, that while Jesus was alive here, this woman who felt her weight of sin and was able in some means, in some way, to recognize this man, this was the Lamb of God to take away her sins. This was a man of perfection. This is a man who was deserving of glory. She broke that alabaster box and poured it upon his head. She wanted to acknowledge who Jesus is and in her own way, exactly how vital and important Jesus is. This should not have brought the indignation of the disciples, but I can't speak too quickly because I might have been that practical-minded, that pragmatic myself. Who knows? But friends, we need to realize that what is more important than even the relieving of the poor, which it is a great blessing and benefit in the Christian church and in the Christian life to relieve the poor of their suffering. We should be proactive in doing that. We should be very cognizant to do that. But friends, let me tell you something. Jesus is far more valuable than all the poor put together. He is far more valuable than this entire universe amplified. He is the God of glory. And this woman wanted to acknowledge how important, how wonderful, how saving this man was who was here before her about to go to the cross. And let us never forget this generosity of this woman who had the power. It was within her power to keep it, to have invested it, to have lived off of it if she had sold it. But she found something far more precious, and that was the blood that coursed through the veins of this precious, perfect son of a carpenter, as he was seen, who was about to go and die for her. Oh, if we would just be so generous in the cause of Christ, not only in relieving the poor, but in giving of our all, if we could refocus ourselves to see that the purpose, Christian, that we keep a job is not only to pay our just and necessary and honest debts, but also to have the wherewithal we need to honor Jesus Christ by giving it away, by investing it in his church, in the ministry of the gospel, in the relieving of the poor, in the helping of those in need. And if we'll do more of that, I guarantee you, we won't have to have nearly so many symbols around as humongous crosses or fish symbols on the bumper stickers of our cars for people to know that they are among disciples of Jesus Christ. Oh, let us be that crazy generous. Let's look at another example of what the world would consider crazy. We go to 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 25. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king. And this king under consideration is David. King David returning unto Jerusalem after his exile, after Absalom has been defeated. Now he's returning in triumph unto Jerusalem. So I read again, and it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, and to him under consideration who came out to meet the king was Mephibosheth. Remember, Mephibosheth was a grandson of King Saul, and Mephibosheth was greatly exalted and blessed, condescended unto by King David. Even though Mephibosheth rightly, according to the ancient rules of that day, should have been slain as a progeny of the previous king. But David had made a covenant with his beloved friend Jonathan that he would do good unto Jonathan's household. And so this Mephibosheth, who was lame and who had no value and worth as it comes to someone being able to care for themselves and do for themselves in this world, he was lame on his feet. He was poor. He was living in a land called Lodabar, which means land without pasture. He was in a despicable state as an outcast of a king who had actively sought to persecute David, who is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, mind you. He was worthy of death, but yet he had been lifted up out of that death and exalted through the grace of the king. Mephibosheth is a picture of us, my friends. And Mephibosheth had been restored all the goods of his household, of the household of Saul. He had been given Ziba and his sons to serve him. Mephibosheth had been blessed to be able to sit at the very table of the king, not only with he and his sons, but as one of his sons. Also, that makes Mephibosheth another picture of us. Friends, we've been given the spirit of adoption and adopted into the family eternally of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Oh, what Mephibosheths we are. So here Mephibosheth coming back, here coming to greet the king after he's victorious and after he's come back. And he answered, "My Lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame, and he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes, for all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" What is this issue between King David and Mephibosheth? Well, when David was leaving Jerusalem in exile, running away from the uprising of Absalom, Ziba came with asses laden with goods to help support the king, and he lied to King David and told King David that Mephibosheth had declared that, well, now I'll have everything that I ought to have. Now when David is destroyed, I'll be restored everything that ought to belong to me and to my forefather Saul. Ziba lied to David. Okay, David didn't know it at the time, but Ziba had lied to him. Mephibosheth said no such thing. And here Mephibosheth is describing what happened. "My servant went and said, I'll get a beast to carry you on because you're lame in your feet. And he went without him, left him behind, left him on the curb, so to speak, and went and claimed and tried to make himself, Ziba and his family, look good before David by lying and maligning Mephibosheth. But here Mephibosheth is saying, what right have I to complain? He's explained himself. He had the right to vindicate himself by declaring this unto the king. And now he said, "King, you just simply use your judgment because I'm here to serve you." And notice David's response. David's response would be quite different than mine. But remember, now David, even though he was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, did not have perfect knowledge, as does Jesus Christ. Remember, the type is always not nearly as specific as the antitype. And David, though he had many smarts, had good intelligence, had much wealth, had much power, had much bravery, and he was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. He didn't have the perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. Now, I don't think I would have done that. But again, looking at David's situation, he didn't know what all the facts were. So he did a very diplomatic thing. He said, okay, well, you know, my dad would do the same thing. If something was broken in the house, he'd come to me and my sister and say, all right, which one of you did it? And if neither one of us owned up, he'd whoop both of us. Well, David here is saying, if I can't get the truth out of either one of you, then what I'm going to do is just divide it and give half to you and half to him and be done with it. Now, us looking through the prism of Scripture, which is infallible, us knowing exactly what had happened during this time through Scripture, we would say, oh man, that's the wrong choice, David. And I'll tell you, especially if you were Mephibosheth, I mean, man, your nerves would be all, should be all tore up, saying, you know, now half of the things that I've enjoyed that have been given unto me, now I've lost them because of this lion Ziba. And I can't believe David can't see my side of the story. And I can't believe this has happened to me. Woe unto me, woe unto me. And walk around with a face as long as a mule, moaning and complaining. But Mephibosheth didn't do that. He said, thou and Ziba divide the land. Then in verse 30, and Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. This was a man who truly had a heart for David. He truly appreciated what David had done for him. And he knew that he would have absolutely zero possessions. It was as if he was living under someone else's roof, Machir's household, back in Lodabar, having nothing, having no worth, no value. At least he had been greatly blessed by the Lord. And friends, let me tell you something. If everything was taken away from us, even our eternal life was taken away from us. It can't be, but even if it was, friends, just one moment of blessing and condescension that we've received from the great God of glory is far, far, far greater than we deserve. But I'm so thankful we have an all-knowing king, and he's a perfect judge, and nothing, no facts slip by him. No sin goes unrendered. Brothers and sisters, we serve a great, great God. And I'll tell you, we need to have crazy humility, just like Mephibosheth. You know, notice if it was you and me, we would say, whoa, Mephibosheth, don't speak too fast now. Simmer down, son. Think about what you're saying. You're saying here, you can, if you want to, king, take everything I've got and give it to Ziba. But no, don't say that. Don't overextend yourself. Mephibosheth didn't care. He realized who it was he was addressing. He was addressing his great king. And let us remember, friends, as we walk through this life and something happens to us that we tend to see as negative or a slight or an offense, let us have that crazy humility that was exhibited by Mephibosheth. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If we can do that, oh, the world certainly thinks that's crazy. Why would you be that humble? Why in the world would anybody take the loss that they've taken? Why would they do that? That is crazy, the world thinks. Well, that's what we Christians are supposed to be. We're supposed to be the disciples of the Lord who was seen as turning this world upside down. Everything that Jesus did made no sense to the world. Oh, but it's just glory in our minds as we sit here and we fathom it and we just ruminate on the blessings and the grace and the beauty that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And let us go out, my friends, this week. I charge you, listener, believer in Jesus Christ, show that generosity to a fault. Show it to a fault. Now, I'm not saying neglect your just and honest debts, but I am saying before you go out and buy that four-wheeler or that side-by-side or that new lease for deer hunting or whatever the case may be, you consider what you may do with that money. And are you doing what you feel you ought to do in the service of Jesus Christ and for the relief of others and for the benefit of his cause and kingdom? And let us also have that crazy humility that when bad times come, when cancer strikes, when we lose a loved one or we lose an investment, the stock market crashes, we lose all of our retirement. I've essentially lost all of mine during my life. But you know what? I count it all but dung for the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be, I'm not nearly as humble as Mephibosheth, but boy, I want to be. I want to be seen as crazy like that by this world. And if I can be seen in that way, if you can be seen in that way, oh, what a great life we've lived to the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Until we're able to speak with you again, I pray these things have been a blessing to you and that you'll consider these things, pray over them, compare them to the infallible Word of God. And until we're able to speak with you again here at the Gospel of Grace broadcast, I bid you a good day.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30. And tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wonder.